a fantastic Sunday. Fantastic. Everyone, I think, that loves this game and this sport will have had a great day.
It was very eventful. I yelled a couple times, both good and bad reasons. I didn't think the game was over until we reached a certain point, because I was like, you never know, you never know. And then I got the look, do you think it's over now? And I said, yes, yes, I do.
That's fair. That's fair. You don't want to rush into those kind of mindsets.
So. No. And yeah, let's get into it, Chad. I'm drinking my Younglings, just light lagers, just kind of into them right now. It's good for the cold days.
Nice. I'm just on water today.
Smart.
But I was at the store earlier, and we're carrying a Wrexham lager in the area now from Wrexham. So I don't know if that's any affiliation to the club or you know, the exposure that Rob and Ryan have given that town and club, but I might pick it up soon. Check it out.
It's crazy how that name has become globalized.
Yeah,
5 years ago, no one even knew what a Wrexham was.
No.
And now there's beer.
There's beer. Yeah, the TV show certainly helps, but like they're doing USA preseason tours as you know, what, League One club, I think they are now. So anyway.
Do you see who they signed recently?
No.
Oh, former Burnley striker Jay Rodriguez.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I know he's older, but he's got to have something in his bag still.
Well, yeah, he was with, was he on Sheffield last season in the Premier League? He had a moment or two where or maybe he was still Burnley. But I don't know. I remember him having a game or two where he, you know, he looked okay. But I think at League One, he could probably do a job.
Oh, man, I assume so. yeah, actually, I think he was in, he was with Burnley last
Burnley
year.
Still, yeah.
Time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, pretty good signing.
Well, hey, you know, I try not to look too much into Wrexham because I do enjoy watching the show and don't want it to be totally ruined, but, wow. Didn't know that.
Good stuff. All right.
Anyway.
we talked about this last time and we can kind of lead with this. City has a lot to prove in this next month.
Yes.
It is February 2nd, and this is off to probably, I would say, probably going, I could imagine this month being the worst in club history for them if this is the way it's going to go. Okay, we talked about who they're playing. Yeah. They have arguably all the toughest matchups you could possibly have in England, and then you're going against the Champions League winner from last year to get your knockout phase started. Rough.
Yeah, I mean, they really need to build on some momentum here from, you know, coming out of that little dark period they had and you know, they definitely bundled it against PSG, but then bounced back against Chelsea. Almost looked like Club Bruges was going to do what everyone wanted, but you know, they pulled that out, so they needed to find some momentum. And you know, I think coming into today's game against Arsenal, I think was always going to be tough for them, considering how they've been playing and all that. But you know, I think there's enough of a rivalry there that it ideally would have sparked them up a little bit and got them going, and then carry this momentum into this pivotal month for them. Because If I'm a City supporter or staff, player, whatever, I'm looking ahead at these games, and it's just, if you're not on your A game almost every single game here, this season's already fairly dead and done for you, but like you could quickly fall out of Europe, and not only this season, but for next. And this is not the start they would have wanted.
As a Liverpool fan, I would have loved to see them crash out of Champions League, but the fact they have to go against Real Madrid twice in the next two weeks before they play us.
I didn't even consider that part though, because I was like, yeah, I would have loved to see them fall out and okay, yeah, if they stick in then it's, you know, another game, but I, you know, the new format, I don't know,
What do you think?
Also, like, haven't like looked too much into it beyond, you know, just keeping up with it, I guess. So I didn't really take into account of like, oh yeah, let's have them go through, but like be seated so low that they're playing a top team now and like have to commit. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I wasn't sure how I'd feel about this new format going into it, but I think it's been better, more exciting.
I think it's been a lot better. I think
at least in these, in what would have been the group stage for
right,
sure. Like,
right. And we went from six games in the old format to eight. And I, you know, I didn't think that would be, I was more confused by that. I was like, wow, they're really drawing this league phase out. Like, yeah. This is going to go all the way to February. We were, the first game started September ish.
I think so. Yeah.
Right around there. And I've been super happy with the way it went. I think it's super neat how the first eight teams who make it are secure. You don't have to worry about this next month. I think
really
that's
nice.
I think that's just an awesome look for them. And then we get to see these teams in the middle of the pack duke it out. But if you're caught slipping in the first couple matches, like, you know, like Madrid, you know, put City in there too, you're going to go against these games against clubs who are highly motivated to possibly upset you. So it's, I like it. I like the way it went. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. But the fact that we went down to the final day and there could have been so much movement in the table, like that's what I wanted out of this. I wanted the chaos in that final day. And really the only team that didn't have to worry about it too much was Liverpool. I mean, we didn't play we barely played anyone from our starting 11. And then you have teams on that fringe, like 5, 6, 7, 8 seed, watching other games to see if they were going to be able to either go through automatically or have to play someone. I like Aston Villa, for instance. I thought that was super neat. So I think well done UEFA for actually doing something that was entertaining, and every game felt like it mattered.
Yeah, and you know, just looking at who's in this knockout playoff round now, is like there's big names. There's Dortmund, Real, Bayern, Milan, PSG, Juventus, City, you know, other big teams, but like those are the teams you're used to seeing just like win the first three matches of their group stage and then just kind of cruise because they could. And you know, now it's just not that way, and yeah, I think it's made it much more exciting from the start, and I don't know, I'm kind of interested to see if any of these teams that move on from this phase kind of pick up some, you know, spirit of the cup kind of good voodoo on their side and get some upsets along the way or something. But
yeah,
it's been fun.
Before we, you know, jump back to Premier League here, I mean, we have City and Madrid is definitely the most fascinating matchup out of all of these. But which other ones do you like as far as a possible upset going and you know, there's still a lot of from Juventus, PSG, AC Milan, Dortmund, Bayern. You know, do you see any of those slip into the team underneath them?
I don't know. I mean, I think the Sporting Dortmund one is one to watch just because Sporting had looked so good when Amorim was there, and they got Georg Perez, or however you say his name, who's just scoring for fun this season. So it's interesting to see if, you know, they can, is it just because like the Portuguese league is just not up to their level, so that's why they have looked so good, or can they actually do it against, you know, some of the best teams in Europe? And kind of the same for Dortmund. Like, I feel like they have a pretty solid team, but just still have been finding struggles here and there to get it together. But then, you know, even the Milan, I'd say I'm surprised that they're down there. I feel like while I don't really check in with Serie A often, I feel like every time something comes into my like social sphere, it's Milan and Pulisic scoring, or like,
for sure,
you know, them performing well. So to see them down there is weird. And I feel like that Celtic Bayern game could be pretty spicy.
I know. Celtic can go one way or another, but it'd be really, that's the one I have my eye on too. It's like, could this be a Harry Kane moment of just like falling apart? We'd expect it not to go that way, but yeah, definitely that would be, I think, the biggest upset in there. if it were to happen. And then the other one I was kind of looking at was Brest and PSG. PSG is just, I think, in Champions League, just known for kind of crashing out before the finals. And Brest has been playing pretty decently. I don't know where they are in the table in France. I imagine they got to be up there since they've been playing decent in Champions League.
I would think so. I don't know, though. They're in eighth.
Yeah. So. Wow, PSG's rolling right now. They haven't lost in... in their league here, but yeah, that's should be interesting. I think some of these games could be really interesting. And then we get reseeded, and I don't really understand how the next round will go. Is it the highest seed will go to the, so for instance, if City and Madrid move on, say City moves on, they're the lowest seed out of the two. Would then they play the higher seed, which is, I believe, Atletico?
I think it goes that way. Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of hard to read their bracket right now because, yeah, it is so much of, like, this team or this team.
And, right.
I would think it's, you still play just the seeded numbers of, highs and lows.
Sure.
But either way, just... from an Arsenal perspective, I think they look like they have some, I wouldn't say favorable necessarily, but good games. Like, you're avoiding, Madrid, so that's always good for now, at least. City will be out or on their way away from Arsenal for a little bit too, so that could be good. So, I don't know. I think it'll be exciting to have, like, I guess another round of knockouts, essentially. So, teams putting it all out there and trying to punch their way through.
Yeah, first time ever teams get to sit back and see who they get matched up with. It's definitely something for history. So who do you think goes, Madrid or City?
I think it's got to be Madrid,
Be right.
Even beyond just general form, Madrid in the Champions League is just, they got some extra sauce.
Different beast. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's not like they did poorly in the league phase. No. They didn't get it done early. Who did they lose to? Lille, Barcelona. I'm sorry, Lille, AC Milan, and Liverpool. Oh yeah, the Liverpool matchup, that was huge for us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think back to our true conversation start. I think City's screwed. that's basically what I'm trying to say here. I think they're lucky to play Newcastle in the next upcoming weeks, just because Newcastle has been on a cool off period. But congratulations on the day. What a smackdown.
Yeah, I mean. Like, you said in the Discord, like, you weren't expecting anything this big, and I don't think anyone really was. I was going into the game, cautiously optimistic, but you're still missing Saka. This is still an Arsenal team that over recent weeks has been creating, but struggled to put the ball in the back of the net, whereas the City team, while they've had their own struggles, is, seemingly coming back to life. And you're entering this, second half of season phase where we're so used to seeing them go on just a run to, seal a title or upset or whatever it might be. So it was nice to get a goal right away and calm some of those nerves for me. Sure. And I like that, Arsenal came out pressing so heavily right away. But was also really surprised to see City just struggle to pass out of the back, because that's like been their bread and butter the whole time Pep has been here. I don't know what happened.
When y'all pinned Kovacic down to their own end line and he had nowhere to go and he was just constantly moving backwards with no help, I'm shocked when he lost the ball and gave up a corner that he wasn't furious at his teammates. I mean, he's a pretty calm guy, but at that moment... no help. Everyone was standing there. No one even like wanted to get close to maybe block out an Arsenal player. That was poor by City. I thought Foden was invisible, and then when he did show up, he was giving the ball away to y'all so you could score some nice fortunate goals. But
yeah,
the Haaland header, that was one where I was like, oh man, I was like, okay, like he's kind of alive. There was another opportunity when was Vardiol that crossed it into the box, and no one showed up for it, but it like that was dangerous.
Yeah,
that was it. That was honestly it.
Yeah. Well, there was the one header from the corner. David Raya had a quick reaction.
Great save on that.
So like they definitely had their moments, but I think it was just that, just moments. Because even that kind of, you know, late first half and brief start to the second half period where it looked like City was kind of dominating, I think it was more just Arsenal just do what Arsenal have done far too many times this season, and you know, get their goal and then take their foot off the gas a little bit and sit back. And you know, if that's towards the end of the game, that's one thing, but to try and do a whole game like that against a City team, like they're either going to find a way in, or you know, you see with, you know, Thomas Partey's shot, like just a shot through traffic sometimes takes a deflection that goes in. So I don't like seeing the team do that. And I'm glad that it seems like, I don't know if Partey scoring was just enough to jazz everyone up again and get them going. But from then on, it just seemed like Arsenal's on the front foot, and, you know, City really struggled to get anything going.
Yeah, I thought Kevin De Bruyne getting subbed in when he did was interesting. I mean, they've been kind of having him go full 90s and then sub in the next game at a certain point, but I didn't think this was the game to do that. And if you were going to sub him in the second half, why not do it at the start of the second half? It was asking too much of him, which he really, I mean, he didn't do much once he was there. He
just kind of ran around.
Yeah, there was pretty much no threat at that point in the game. I don't know. Pep looked, I don't know, just like lost, like kind of lost, deer in headlights at times. And Arsenal looked like they're having a ton of fun. A couple moments when officiating was a little bizarre. And, you know, the yellow cards came out and everything. But other than that, it was a pretty straightforward game. I didn't think too many calls were missed.
It felt, you know, surprisingly, as it starts to get a little chippy here and there, I think, you know, ref didn't overreact really at any point, which, you know, maybe he was told to just kind of like keep it contained, but don't, you know, overstep your bounds here and let it play out, which, good, thank you, because like that's how it should be. There will be tougher challenges, especially in these kind of rivalry games. But as long as it's, you know, within a fair enough context and you know, not dangerous, I think let that play out, or at least play the advantage, you know. I think overall, I think it was good, you know, save for that brief period where Arsenal took their foot off the gas and just slowing it down. I think they played really well, second half especially. Great to see two academy kids get out there and score a goal. You know, Lewis Skelly, just to have the confidence to not only play how he's been playing, but start this game and step into that kind of, you know, inverted wing back role and take the ball and want to drive in and take that shot. Is great to see. I gave a little yell after that one, because, you know, I was excited, and then for him to do the Haaland celebration afterwards was great. And then, you know, I don't know if you remember from the Amazon documentary with Arsenal, where it was the second game against Brentford, and Arteta put up Ivan Toney's tweet about like the first game where Brentford won, is like, you know, whatever. And so I want to see what Arteta's pre-match presentation would have been for this game, because I'm sure it was, you know, Haaland saying to stay humble, and, you know, Haaland saying like, who are you to Lewis Skelly, and just like all the random shit that happened afterwards for, you know,
them. Throwing the ball at Gabby's head.
Yeah, all those things. And I feel like it was probably like, it was either like so poorly edited that it was like funny, or like cinema level quality editing on this thing, and like, you know, epic soundtrack behind it and everything. I don't know, but I wish we could see that. And yeah, you know, I think all those little extras made this game feel even like way more cathartic as a Arsenal fan, because not only has City caused so much just like pain and issue over the seasons, but then like that first game was, you know, the sketchy Trossard red, their, you know, last second goal to tie it, and then all the little afters. So this was great. It was a great Sunday morning, great way to start my day. You know, it was just the kind of game you want to see Arsenal play against City, and I never expected 5, but I'm here for it, and I hope they keep rolling here.
I will say City took that loss better than I thought they would. I was definitely expecting some flare-ups here and there. It never really happened. When Gabby laughed in Haaland's face after the first goal, I was just like, deserved. I was like, he totally deserves to have that done to him, and Gabby deserves also to do that to him. Yeah. I thought that was totally fair play in what happened. What I didn't like about this game, you know, I'm no City defender, but the commentary was just shredding Ortega for some reason today.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really strange. And I was like, what do you want this guy to do?
Yeah.
I was like, look what's in front of him. And like, look how Arsenal is playing, and unlucky deflection on the Partey goal. But everything else was, I thought, just really, I don't know how you're blaming Ortega for that when they're saying if Ederson was there, it could have been different. I was like, like, if that's what you're, if that's what you thought the problem was today.
Yeah.
We're watching different games.
I heard that comment too. And in my head, I was like, I don't think Ederson would have saved that either. If anything, I think Ortega put in a better effort. And I think we've seen that this season when, you know, between the two games that they played and stuff, Ortega seemed the more confident back there.
I mean, Ortega saved their season last year when they went against Tottenham. Mm-hmm. Like, very strange commentating at that point. I was surprised that's what the statements. And then, when the other one that kind of stood out to me too for the Arsenal side was when the foul happened on Trossard and Bernardo Silva came in and kicked him afterwards, and the commentating said, just get up, Trossard. I was like, did they not just see what happened here? I was like, what are they watching? I said card. I was like, oh, Silva's getting a card for this for sure. And no, it didn't happen. I was like, all right. And then I think those were the two, the call for Odegaard on the tackle that he made. And then he got a card. I mean, he definitely went at the ref. You can't do that. So I understand the card there, but I also understand why he flipped out.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, those are just tough moments to take, I think, because like, you know, VAR is not going to step in to be like, oh yeah, like that was a fair challenge. But, you know, I get it. Yeah. From Odegaard, it's, you know, he believes that he won it fairly, and I think he did, and to react that way, I get, like, you shouldn't do that, and you know, I get you're the captain too, right? So you should be a little bit more composed, but I think that it could be where the refs could, instead of going straight to yellow in some of those situations, just be like, yo, chill, calm down, you know, give it a little break, and then, you know, if they want to keep acting up, then okay, give them the yellow. But
he didn't go at the ref. He pointed at the ref and was running away. But you know, it did calm him down. I think he was still mad internally, but he did stop. So, there's just a couple moments there. I was like, wow. All right. man, nice game. Way to beat Pep. It's always fun to see the handshake between Arteta and Pep. And like, I always, when the final whistle went, I was like, is Arteta going to look at him? I'm always curious to see reactions, and no, he played it cool. I mean, he had to play it cool. He was
you
know, he had to be professional. But yeah, fun game.
Yeah, it's a great time.
Step one to their downfall this month.
Exactly. Keep it rolling.
So if you had one goal for the second half of Arsenal here, as realistic as you could get, what's that goal for your team?
I mean, I think you just got to stop the draws. The draws have been killer this whole season. You look at the last five matches. Technically, it's the same form as Liverpool. You know, three wins, two draws. But Liverpool is in a position where they can afford a draw here and there. Arsenal can't. And, you know, they got to take this kind of focus and drive and bring it into every game. Which it's easier said than done, obviously, but just, you know, when you get the goal or two, you know, keep it going a little bit, because all these draws have felt like they've come from the same situation where it's, you go up, you start to sit back, slow down the game and, you know, control it, yes, but you kind of take out the momentum you've generated and, you know, then, yeah, the other team just gets more time on the ball and starts to figure it out. So I think just keeping your foot on the gas a little bit is the only goal I have. You know, obviously you want to look up and see if you can get above Liverpool, but still 6 points plus a game in hand. So, you know, it's there or it's out of reach. It's the same as it's always been, right? So, just got to do what you can do to make sure you get the wins. And, you know, the schedule coming up is, I wouldn't say easy, but, you know, it's not City's schedule for sure.
It's favorable for you guys, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Leicester next after Newcastle in the EFL Cup, but Leicester, West Ham, Forest away is scary. you know, United after that, Chelsea. So it's like, competitive game, certainly, but I think if Arsenal play like they did today, especially second half, I think these should all be winnable. So I think just keep the energy up, keep pushing forward. Don't sit back too much. Don't let the other teams really back into these games, because it's been an issue.
It makes me wonder, too, is this going to be the catalyst game since you're beating City 5-1? I mean, we've seen such a conservative scoring side from Arsenal for a little while now, because Arteta wants to make sure they have that, you know, that final run, because they've been burnt out in recent seasons when they got hot in the beginning and gave everything, yeah, and then they couldn't make it to the end. It's like, do you think he was maybe saving energy up until this game to set you know, this is the game we're going to go all out press right from the start, yeah, almost to the finish, dude. When they were at the end of this, yeah, game still trying to score, I was like, God damn. It's like,
yeah. Well, and that's not to like cut you off, but that's what I was kind of thinking about too, when they did kind of take their foot off the gas is, and then, you know, seemingly put it right back on once Partey scored. Was this always kind of the plan of get a goal, conserve energy, basically, and then if City do come back in, then, you know, punch forward? Because it kind of broke it down into just three segments, right? Of like, first 30 minutes was pretty heavily Arsenal. Then City took that last half of the first half and started the second half the same way.
Right.
And then the back half was all Arsenal again. So maybe that was part of game plan. Mm-hmm. I don't like it, but I get that you can't fully press, you know, for 90 minutes. There are going to be swings and all that, so yeah, I don't know. And I'd like to see more of the pressing like that, and effectively like that, I guess.
You have no reason to draw Brighton 1-1 a couple games ago when you beat City 5-1, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just these little draws, and, you know, early season draws, a lot of those were up to some wonky reffing and bad luck. And I, you know, some of these other ones, you know, luck has been against us, but I think a lot of the times it was just, you know, being a little too slow and controlled rather than letting the team kind of flow. Mm-hmm. And this game kind of reminded me of like Arsenal of, you know, last season before, where it was, goals were coming from all over the pitch rather than just Saka or, you know, just the corner or whatever.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Got, how many more games now? Week 24, we got 14 left.
Yeah.
Is that right? Almost there.
Yeah. It's crazy. 15 for you. So
Yeah. We got that game coming up soon, actually. So we should be balanced pretty soon. If you're good on that, I'll jump to Liverpool here.
Yeah.
Pretty standard for us. I think the biggest thing that we were worried about was seeing what Bournemouth might come out with after they just destroyed Forest. They beat Forest 5-0 the week prior, and Forest was our bogey team this year. To see that, it was like, okay, I guess you're going to probably show up for us too. And to be fair, I thought Bournemouth did a fine job at defending and not allowing Liverpool to necessarily create as many chances. However, Liverpool felt like they were in control for most of that game. Bournemouth made a silly mistake on the PK. You know, I saw a lot of it was soft. Like, you clipped him in the back of the legs and he went down. Like, it's PK soft, all day.
But it is, yeah.
PK all day. You know, Bournemouth had a couple opportunities too to smash him in. The post kind of did save us today.
Those posts.
And
did they like move the goal?
Oh, dude.
Or something. I don't know.
Must have been a little toasty. Yeah, they expanded a little bit. And then of course Salah's goal was just you know it's coming. You know it's coming. And he just slotted it perfectly in there. Not too many moments of worry this day. I mean, besides, it was their XG was 1.
Yeah.
And it was probably when Clever had the open net, and I actually saw a side by side. This happened a couple weeks ago, where it was almost the exact same play, and I don't remember who missed it, but it's totally wide right, just open net missed. Liverpool got away with one foul that was going to lead to a potential breakaway, and I think it was McAllister. He fouled him, and nothing happened, and Bournemouth was pretty pissed. And I kind of get it, but at the same time, that happened to Liverpool, I think on the wing with Diaz. He got like just absolutely rattled, and no call was made. Tyler Adams probably got hit with a ball in the gut I've ever seen out of anyone. Yeah. I mean, that was a rocket. I can't imagine what that would have felt like.
Probably left a really gnarly bruise.
Dude, it looked like it hit him like right above the hips. I don't know. Watching it slow down, I was like, it might have caught beneath the hips or just radiated fully. But watching that live, I mean, of course I was like, he didn't die, but I was like, that's gotta be as close to feeling like you're going to die in a game, but still have fully conscious, right? He knew, he knew everything. He didn't pass out, but he felt it all. And, I
think he probably would have rather passed out just to not feel it.
I was just thinking, I was like, what if that was like in the side of the head? Or, I mean, that ball was kicked so hard. That was insane. Yeah. That was an insane smack.
Yeah, that was not a good one from your own teammate to take. Hopefully,
blasted.
You bought him a drink afterwards or something. I don't know. Yeah. But
yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Nice. I think that was a solid. Bournemouth has been great. I don't think they've ever, if I read the stat right, they'd never gotten above 30 points in the Premier League up until this year, and now they're at 40. So this is the best team they've ever had. And Solanke's got to be kicking himself for leaving this team and going the other way in the table.
Yeah. I think you're right. It was all Liverpool. The chances Bournemouth had looked really good, like Semenyo cutting in and rocketing that thing off the woodwork was crazy. Clivert obviously should have done better, but it's a game of moments, right? And some days you got it, some days you don't. It's not to say Bournemouth didn't look good. Like, I think they moved the ball really well, and transitioned pretty well and all that. Just when you need to be like 110% against Liverpool, like, just didn't happen on the day. But I like watching them. They are exciting, especially with dealing with a handful of injuries themselves. But you're up there in seventh. You're tied with Chelsea, who was, looking like an early title contender, or at least knocking on that door. So they're playing great. You know, it's fun to watch them do well after, I feel like, you know, every time we've seen them in the league before, it was, you're just kind of a bottom team, and not that it was free points, but, you know, just
they were different team now. They were pretty mid, yeah. But it would always pull off some crazy upset.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now that they can put together a fine defense and quality midfield with, I think their next, you know, Solanke was great for them, but I think they do need a, like a proper number nine, like some, mm-hmm. I think really that's kind of their missing piece right now. I think everything else is looking pretty good. I like their wing backs a lot. I mean, Kepa is mm-hmm. their keeper as a 30-year-old now, looks mature back there. I think it's, yeah. I think that's fine. I think their wings are great. It's just like one or two missing pieces here could really change the squad up. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, good for them. I'd rather be Bournemouth right now than Brighton.
Jeez.
I don't get Brighton, dude.
I don't understand them at all. I woke up because I wasn't waking up at 4:30 to watch this game, and check, and it's 7-0 at the end. Isn't 7? What the hell happened? So I just checked the stats, and like, if you just check the stats, this game makes no sense.
I haven't, but tell me more.
Well, I'll tell you. You know, shot wise, it was 14-11. You know, 9 on target for Forest, 5 on target for Brighton. So, you know, fairly even there. But Brighton beats them on passes, on dribbles, on touches, on tackles. Beat them on errors too, but, you know, that's a different story. But, you know, overall stat-wise, like, this feels pretty even. And then I went and watched the highlights, and it's just like, Brighton looked like they just didn't know how to handle Forest at all. Which is crazy.
Crazy, because Forest is not a scoring team.
No!
almost polar opposite. Yeah, shocking. I woke up as the second half was beginning, and I saw the score line. And I was like, okay, this is pretty much over. Closed my eyes, woke back up. I don't know what it would have been 30 minutes later, and I was like, oh god, they got 5. And then, of course, get up, and I see another, and then I see another, and I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, I didn't have time to really open my eyes yet, and this game was over. Yikes for Brighton.
It seemed like they were somehow, Brighton was leaving so many holes everywhere, I guess, and Forrest was perfectly placed in all of those holes, and, you know, always found the space, and couldn't deal with Alanga running towards the end line, you know, and Chris Wood gets his hattie, but that's the easiest day for him. He was tapping things in left and right. Loved
it. It's funny, before the day, Forrest's goal differential was +6, and they were like, that was like, I don't know, 10th or 9th best, and now they're like tied for 3rd best with their goal differential off this game.
Yeah, jeez.
Wild.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I just want to see, one, how high Forrest can stay, and two, just Wood. Like, how high are you going with your goal tally? You're already past your highest EPL tally. He's one assist away from tying his highest EPL tally. So, I don't know. He's having the season of his life.
He'll get 20. He'll get 20 for sure.
I think so. I mean, it'd be crazy if he doesn't at this point.
God, sub in Chris Wood. Oh my god, see, dude.
I've considered him a few times, especially in our winter window here. But like stat wise, it was just like, you know, one shot a game, maybe two, and then it grabs a goal, and so it's like, it didn't feel like enough. But then it's like, if he's gonna just put in a goal every game, maybe it is enough.
And then we're looking at a 30 goal per year player here. It's just crazy because Brighton isn't that bad.
No.
So
no.
It
was poor defending everywhere, and I don't know. It's just, you know, the dunk own goal was a bummer, but beyond that, I guess the seventh goal was a bad pass out of the back, but, you know, everything else is just Forrest kind of running through them, and you got Chris Wood there to tap it in, so easy enough, and I don't know, just terrible day for Brighton, even though the stats kind of show that they played fine, just didn't have the luck on their side, I guess.
All right, I got a fun question for you. Wood has 17 goals. Haaland has 19. Who has more goals at the end of the season?
I mean, based on not only this game and you know, Haaland's game today, but just recent form, I would probably put it on Wood to pass Haaland's. You know, he's not doing anything crazy, but he's being exactly the striker that Forrest need of just being there in the box to get these tap-ins, takes the occasional shot from further out, and that seems to work too for him. So,
jeez, man, it's pretty wild. So I'm just curious if you think, I mean, if Forrest is going to make top four, they're going into Champions League next year. Mm-hmm. I have a deep sense that Chris Wood is not going to be on Forrest because of his age. It's got that inkling, right?
You think so?
I think so. I don't know for sure, but I just imagine another club who wants a veteran striker, someone who can be present, right?
Yeah, so let's say, just because we just talked about Bournemouth needing a striker, if Bournemouth say in the summer, okay, splash the cash on Chris Wood.
I would say, what is the difference right now between Bournemouth and Forest? And I don't think it's too much.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Which is kind of crazy, because their wingers are very similar. Pacey, mm-hmm. high skill. Their midfields, they're close. I think they're close. Mm-hmm. I think I give Forest the edge just because of the standings. Their back line, I mean, Murillo's a beast, but also Bournemouth's got some guys back there too. I think their goalkeeping is maybe more of an edge for. I think they're very similar teams, to be honest, yeah. In the way they play, their style. I just think, Bournemouth is probably missing that true number nine. I don't know, man. If Chris would went to Bournemouth, I think we'd. I honestly think we'd see the same thing. I don't think these teams are that different. I'm thinking of Chris Wood going to like a. I don't know. I have a weird feeling like Chelsea needs an older guy in there since they're so young. Mm-hmm. I think he would be interesting there if we're just keeping him in Premier League. That's probably the main one. But if can he replicate this season? It's just a fascinating thing to be like here.
That's the thing.
A 33-year-old is literally having his best season of all time, and
but he could, because a lot of his game is not, you know, the sprints and mm-hmm. and you know, dribbling through people. It's being a presence up top, being kind of that target man.
Right.
Getting on the end of a cross for, you know, the tap-ins, which if that's your game and your team can play to that, you don't necessarily need the lower age number to help you out.
Does Arsenal want a guy like that?
I don't think so. I think if he was on Arsenal, I think he'd be cooking.
So why wouldn't you want it?
I just think it's how Arteta wants to play. I mean, you see, you know, Havertz up there as our number nine for now, and him and Odegaard are so key to initiating the press and doing the high press. And you know, I don't think Wood is doing that.
You're right.
So it needs to be a team that, you know, can just play to his strengths of target man in the box. Cross that ball in, he's probably getting to it. Will he be able to replicate all the success? I don't know. It could be, you know, one off. But
I just don't. I don't think he'll be there next year. I think they'll get younger at the striker spot.
I think that would be smart. Like, you know, especially if teams come knocking for him, then I think you probably cash in because you know you look in his recent seasons and. Yeah, he's scored goals each year, but not like this. Mm-hmm. So I think you would be hesitant to see if you could recreate it the following season, especially when now you're bringing in, you know, Champions League games to that. I don't know. I think either they sell him or they still bring in some younger talent, but keep him, and then it's just like a rotation option.
I hope they don't. I hope they honor him. I hope they realize he was a focal point for getting him to Champions League. I just think if they want to stick around in this top four area and make it in Champions League, that he could be the guy. I mean, he's the guy right now, so it's hard to say he's not the guy when he currently is the guy. I just think that would be their spot that they need to upgrade, because everything else looks nice.
Yeah.
It's, you're young.
Yeah.
He's the only 30-year-old besides Sells. Is that accurate?
Really?
Pretty close. Willy Bolly's in there and Alex Moreno. But everyone else, man, mid to young 20s.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at, you know, Brighton just sent out Evan Ferguson on loan to West Ham.
That went through? I didn't see that.
I don't know if it's official, but I saw it was looking that way at least. So, you know, if, you know, he seemingly lost his place at Brighton, but the times we did see him play, I mean, yeah, he was even younger than he is now. So, you know, it wasn't electric lighting everything up, but I think he was showing enough presence and mm-hmm. composure in that striking position to, you know, not just be a backup. So if they keep Wood around, you maybe bring in Ferguson and, you know, then that's some good rotation option there. And he's young enough, certainly. So.
Yep. Went through 8 hours ago.
Okay.
Fascinating. All right. Well, we got Chelsea tomorrow. So
yeah,
we'll have to check in to see what happens there. Aston Villa losing to the Wolves. That was a surprise. I only caught the first half of that game, and I didn't see much out of Villa. But if they want to get rid of Watkins now too, what the hell do they do up top?
I feel like this game was bad for Villa purely based off the midweek Champions League game.
True.
Because they all looked a little bit slow and you know, we're feeling a little bit of the fatigue in their legs. Because Wolves just seemed like they were running through them over and over. You know, great win for Wolves. I think it's their first win of the year here.
Oof. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe now they'll finally get their season going.
Don't get it going when you're playing Liverpool next. Don't put that in the air.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm going to hard stop you there. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so.
At least next week. After Liverpool, they have Bournemouth. Yeah, no, I don't know, man. I mean,
look, we've run through this list of Wolves had a rough start to the season, and now they're finally going to get it, and they didn't. So
they're on that the back half of the rough part again. They should have done it the last, what, I guess, six-ish games?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think Villa just didn't have the rotation options they wanted. But, it, you know, if they're bringing in, it looks like Rashford might be going there on loan.
Yep, correct.
Which I think is a great move. It's you know, kind of like what we were saying, you know, maybe an Everton would have come in for Rashford or like anyone, you know, you're not playing at United, just throw your name out there if you can utilize him. And, you know, he may not perform or he might like the change of scenery and do something for you. So, could be good for them. I don't know, but yeah, losing Duran, I think is, and obviously not a huge loss because he wasn't their starting striker, but the times he came in, he won them so many games of just coming in and hitting a banger.
Bizarre transfer. Probably the most bizarre I think we'll see this year. I don't understand why you'd want to get rid of a striker with all this potential at that age when you have someone who's almost 30 They sold the wrong guy.
Yeah. It does feel weird. Like, you know, Watkins this year, I'd say hasn't been as good as last year, or at least as consistent as he was last year. So yeah, I think you maybe err on the side of the younger guy with more potential, right? Like, yeah, he's maybe not impressed so much in the games that he started, but those games where he did come in and you needed a win, or even if you're just adding to it, like, he was getting goals. He wasn't afraid to shoot. He wasn't afraid to take on players. I don't know. The money came in, and I guess maybe they just thought it was better to take that route.
But why sell him? He wasn't having problems with the club. He just moved on in Champions League.
Yeah.
To me, that made no sense. It just told me he was expendable, and I don't know. They said they didn't need him, so that's why they sold him. But I feel like that's going to come back to haunt them, because who comes in for Watkins now? You have Rashford there, and Rashford, we don't know. I don't expect much, just because we haven't seen much. But with Duran, he was an instant, like, what if? Instant. Yeah. As soon as he came on the pitch, is he going to score a banger? Maybe.
Maybe. Like, the probability leans more towards yes.
So. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, definitely a shocker. Yeah. Villa's an interesting one. We'll see what their tournament looks like in Champions League. Again, they're a tournament team, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Arsenal throw the bid in for Watkins, and I get why. Like, he's more of a out and out striker that is pacey enough that can, apply that front pressure that Kai does right now, but. I don't know if I feel some type of way because I see his stats every week. And, we've seen so many of these weeks where he goes in and while we don't score every stat, he walks away with, minimal points in our league, right?
And yes, stats don't matter, but...
But they kind
of also they're telling, right? They're telling.
Yeah, they help paint a picture a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So... For me, it's would he perform better under Arsenal? Maybe. But I don't know because, Emery still plays that kind of fast attacking side football, right? So it's not all too dissimilar to what Arsenal does when their attack is flowing. It's pretty quick. It's pretty run the channels and quick little ball or flick to you sort of thing. So... Maybe he performs better, but I feel like a lot of the times I've seen him not perform, he's been missing easy shots.
What did Arsenal put up for the bid?
I think it was 60 million.
Would you have spent the same on Duran? Would you have wanted to spend the same on Duran? Like, take your pick.
Yeah. I think if you're spending 60, I think you probably look... It's just hard. Like, I think I would look towards the guy with more upside, which would be Duran, but everyone kind of wants a striker to come in that's, set and ready to go and, being the January window, hopefully push on to keep the pressure on Liverpool and, potentially win the title at the end. So I guess in that context, Watkins is probably, the more finished product. But for 60, it feels like a crazy number for a guy that's like kind of entering the end of his high level career, right?
Yeah, like he's on the downward trajectory of where he should be, at least from what he's showing us, right?
Yeah.
At least as far as the recent season goes. Like, he's not the carrier of Aston Villa as he was the last, arguably, we can call it 4 years.
Yeah. And I know we've got the Chris Wood example of 33 and doing it, sure. Ian Wright came to the club at 29 and did it. But like, that was just a vastly different game when Ian Wright was here. So to use that argument, I don't feel like is comparable to the Watkins deal. I don't know. I mean,
like, go get Danny Welbeck and spend a fraction if you want a number nine who can play, you know, pretty decent. I it almost makes sense why the Nunez rumors were kind of going around too. It's like, if you're going to spend that much on Watkins, and I understand Nunez doesn't have, I guess, the history comparable to Watkins. He doesn't have the, you know, I think like 5 seasons in a row with 10 plus goals and one of like a few players that only has done that. But he very well could.
Yeah.
Nunez very well could if he had that position to start going. It just depends. I don't know. The Watkins one, based on what we see and what we've studied and what we've made jokes of, I mean, if Arsenal gets him, I'm gonna have to rip on it all the time. I mean, it's gonna be funny.
I don't think it'll happen with Duran going. Like, Rashford's probably coming in. I think they were looking at bringing in Asensio as well.
I think that did happen.
But I don't think either of those guys you would look to be your starting striker, right? So you're not going to sell Watkins as well. And I think that's probably for the best for both clubs here. It's like, I think not that Watkins would have been a panic buy, but I think it would have been some just kind of another kind of like stopgap situation where it's, you're proven enough in the Premier League. We feel like we can get enough out of you this season and whatever future seasons. But I think that's the true, like, Arsenal striker commentary would still be looming over everything because, you know, 29, he can maybe spark back up a little bit. But I don't know. I think if you're going to spend 60, I think you either spend it younger or spend a little bit more and get someone more prolific, whether it be Osimhen, who's
right,
has had been doing really well, and I don't know where he is now, but
he's in Turkey. I don't remember who he's playing for at the
moment. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I mean him, the Gyökeres, if you know you want to go that route, these bigger names that are banging in goals, in different leagues, but maybe worth a punt on those rather than, throwing 60 at Ollie and when you could have had something more for a little bit more money, maybe.
Osimhen's on loan right now to Galatasaray. So, hey, you never know. Ivan Tony might not be down with Saudi anymore. We're seeing a lot of the going to Saudi and saying, I don't think this is for me. He'd be an interesting one to make a comeback to.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's fair. You know, it's I think the money certainly turns heads, and you think you can put up with living conditions and that league and that area and everything for the money, but once you get there and
until you can't.
it's nice until it's not, and I don't know. I think, it'll be nice to see like an Ivan Toney come back. I think his Arsenal ship has sailed at this point anyway, but if these players want to go for a season or two, grab a stupid amount of money and then try and make their way back into, a competitive league, then so be it.
It would not shock me if Duran is back within the Premier League within a year or two, one bit.
I mean, I just don't know what he's expecting there. Like, you're still playing under Ronaldo, right? Like, he's the dude there, so you're not getting him out of his position. You might score some bangers there, but like, I think you're only hurting your development, really. So you're making money, certainly, but
a lot for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Colombia has a potential, fight for possibly being the World Cup winner. I don't know where they stand in the world, but seeing them, what they did with Copa.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, they were great. Good. They were really good. Yeah. So, you know, he's going to be 23-ish by the time the World Cup starts. And that's a good place to be if you're a striker for Colombia.
Yeah, but, certainly.
Chad, we saw Crystal Palace beat Man U.
Ugh. Incredible stuff. Mateta showing up right when the world needed him.
I again, don't know how to place Crystal Palace. Second half team. I mean, last year, second half team, right?
It's true.
Do you think they break top 10? They're right top there. They're right there. Brighton's down. They're falling.
I think they can.
Fulham has been inconsistent. Villa, I don't know what to expect with Villa at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even Brentford after today against Tottenham,
it was a little rough.
Just bad. So, Fulham, Brighton, Brentford, Palace, I think Palace has the most upside here. Their wing backs are still just working every single game. No one's stopping them, you know. Munoz, another assist. Mitchell nearly got an assist today. They look good. You know, if Mateta can keep doing his thing, you know, Sarr is still there. He's certainly gone quiet, but if he can find some scoring form again, I think they can break their ceiling of 12.
I know, man. Come on.
Get up there.
This is the year. This is the year. Top 10. Let's make it happen. We have to give flowers to David Moyes, right?
Just when you thought Everton was just the worst, somehow scraping by team, they look like they know what they're doing now.
It's like someone told them if you shoot, you could score. And they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, crazy.
Can you believe we can do that? I mean, they beat Leicester 4-0. They beat Brighton last week. They beat Tottenham the week prior. They got Bournemouth, Liverpool, Palace. I'm sorry. Well, not Bournemouth. Bournemouth's in the cup. Liverpool, Everton, United. Well, the Liverpool game now, I really wish we played them a couple months ago.
Yeah. I mean, derby games are always weird. Yeah. Form kind of goes out the window, but sure. I think, yeah, certainly that Everton team would have had to, yeah, yeah, that Everton team would have really had to step it up to perform. This one looks certainly more threatening, but this Leicester team, it looked like they would. They're not a Premier League team. They looked like, I don't even know if I'd call them a championship team. That Everton, almost every goal, they just long ball through Leicester's defense, and they score.
Pickford's getting assists. You know there's a problem. I think Leicester plays to their opponent. I think they love, you know, obviously playing against the Tottenhams, but they played very differently against Everton than they did Tottenham this weekend. I think Vardy has a lot to do with that. I do. I think when Vardy's telling his team, we need to absolutely give it our all, like how they did against Tottenham, good things happen. And I'm sure in this game it was, hey, we're bottom feeders. We're probably going to play like bottom feeders. Like, let's just go see what happens.
Yeah.
I think this team plays off the crowd too. I think they play off negative energy, and when the crowd is against them, they want to show up. And I don't think Everton is that place where, I mean, a select few, right? We probably see City, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Chelsea go in there with sprinkling like the big six. If you're the big six, Everton's going to get at you.
Yeah.
But Everton is not really doing that against anyone else, because, like, why should they?
Yeah. Right?
What do they have to do? What do they have to prove? I think Leicester. I mean, look at their history: 5 losses, 1 win, and the wins against Tottenham. And to be fair, all the other losses they've had, I would say they could have beat them if they played like how they did against Tottenham.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, bad team.
Yeah.
unfortunately.
No bueno.
What other games we got here that we didn't check off? Fulham Newcastle. I didn't catch this game. I expected Newcastle to get it done, but Fulham found a way at the very end.
Yeah. I only watched the highlights, and it seemed like Fulham was just ready to defend. Didn't really have much threat in that in the first half. Second half looks better. Again through Anthony Robinson to create some play, and Jimenez is there to get the shot off and takes a lucky deflection, but you take those.
Yep.
Just great ball in from Pereira Muniz with the lovely little flick.
Take a pass. Nice.
So I don't know. Newcastle, I don't know if they now are playing down to their opponent here, because with how they were playing, it looked like they should have knocked the socks off of Fulham, but in a little dip of form here, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, Isaac had a really good opportunity that I think if he had it back, he'd score it. I mean, it hit the post. He's definitely, I feel like when he scores, you're going to win. I'd like to actually go back and see out of those games, which have they not won, did he score? I have a feeling the answer is no. All right, the Chelsea game. He scored, they lost. Brentford, he scored, they lost. Two.
Uh-oh.
That's it, though. Just the two.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think Newcastle, I think they might be relying on him a little too much. I mean, he has 17 goals, and the next closest is Gordon with six. They need someone else to start finding a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's definitely a big part of it. And then Southampton getting the victory over Ipswich. Dang it, man. Ipswich was terrible.
Yeah.
I caught the second half, a little bit of the second half. Ipswich just couldn't get it together. So when Southampton scored, I was like, what? Shocking. Shocking they pulled away from that one.
Yeah, that's a bummer. You know, it would have, I mean, I guess Ipswich still would have been in relegation, but, you know, level on points with Wolves, and that was a game you need to win if you're gonna try and stay up. Like, the Southampton team is done. They're not staying up. You can't drop points to them. Yikes.
Yeah, that was probably the worst loss they've had this year. Now they're on this cold streak. So I mean, we're at the bottom four now. I think it's official. I don't know if anyone's really gonna be down there with them. I mean, it's fun to think about Man United and Tottenham being down there, but I think they're just far enough away, where that won't happen. I think if the Wolves can get another victory in here, I think they'll be safe, and these will just go three up, three down again.
Yeah, it's looking like it, which is a bummer. I mean,
I know.
It's, I don't know. I thought Ipswich was going to, they certainly like grew into this season. It felt like where, you know, they started pretty rough, but then starting to get some good performances, get a handful of win and draws going, and just kind of the same as Wolves. When they needed wins against teams they could beat or at least draw, they didn't do it. So, yeah, probably three up, three down again. Which, that's how it goes sometimes.
And then we'll probably see Leeds, Sheffield, and Burnley come right back up.
Ah, jeez.
Come on back.
Well, you know, if Leeds is still going to be America's team, then
it's true.
Let's get them back up here.
Why not? I mean, they're killing it right now, so I fully expect to see them back. They're at 63 points leading the championship. Mm-hmm. They just beat Cardiff 7-0. So,
dang.
They're actually on a five-game clean sheet streak.
Oh, okay.
So looking good over there.
Well, I mean, yeah, it could just be, you know, last season they weren't fully ready for it, and, you know, now if they got this next season to kind of keep their eye on the Premier League prize and kind of build towards that, maybe they'll be able to stay up next year.
I hope so. I want to root for Leeds. I do like them. All right, Chad, I think we nailed all the games here. We just got one more tomorrow. I'll be around watching that one. Who you got, Chelsea or West Ham?
I think it's going to be West Ham. Potter's coming back with a vengeance.
I don't know if you're telling the truth or not.
No. I think it should be Chelsea. But I think West Ham will. I don't think they'll lie down. I think they'll cause some issue and make Chelsea work for it a little bit.
All right, that's fair. Well, team of the week, it's easy. It's Arsenal for this one, right?
Yeah, I mean, great victory.
Mm-hmm.
We already said if you take points off City, you're getting it. So it's you're in there. But I'm shouting out Wolves getting their first win of the year. Shouting out Forest putting up 7.
Yeah,
you know, good performances. But Arsenal take the cake on this one.
For player, who you like?
Player, I like Alanga, 3 assists,
yep.
Shot. You know, Beto, 2 goals, 2 shots. Can't argue with Salah, another 2 goals for him, easy. 3 shots. Mateta, 2 goals, 2 shots. And then Partey, a goal, a shot, 4 tackles, 2 interceptions, 2 clearances, locking down that midfield. Mm. Not that City was doing too much in the midfield, but, you know, putting a good shift.
I think
I'd go Alanga.
Yeah, the Alanga Wood combo was picture perfect, but the triple assist is always. I feel like that's harder to do than the actual goals. You find the one who's scoring goals, but the one to do it 3 times, it's definitely definitely tricky.
Yeah, like Wood definitely gets a shout out, but you know, being just kind of tap ins and one was a penalty, I think.
Yeah.
Good, get your Hattie, you know, beat your goal tally record. Yep. Cool. But yeah, I think, you know, Alanga putting the real miles there of running the down to the end line, getting the balls in, driving in, all that. So I think he gets it.
My goal of the week, I didn't have too many this week that I was like, wow, that was impressive. Bournemouth would have probably had 2 if they play their cards right.
Jeez.
I think the Salah one was impressive he just set it up for himself.
He said, you're going to give me the space? All
right. Yeah, right. And then the Wanyeri goal, I think, is similar in a way of how they just picked their spot and found a way to
walk
up.
Yeah.
But I want to give it to Wanyeri just because that's his first, right? First in Premier League? Second. No, that was his second, right?
I think it's his second. Lewis Skelly, that was his first in Premier League. Apparently Nunwari has been doing like that kind of shot all through academy and you know, U23 or whatever games and stuff. So like he's got it in his locker certainly. And he has a similar goal in the Champions League this week. So if he can be the Saka rotation option that we've longed for, then great. Especially because he kind of, especially if he can bring that cut inside and just whip it in. But I want Saka to do so much. He doesn't seem to do. His goal is great. I love Lewis Skelly's goal.
No bias.
Salah, yeah. Decore, I liked his goal. Just kind of be there, take it down, and punch it in. Yeah,
great touch.
Yeah.
Like, incredible, that ball. I mean, that ball was kicked from just outside their 18.
I think a little bit closer, but, you know, pretty far back.
And then I think I read it 4th fastest goal in Premier League history.
I think so, yeah.
10 seconds or something. Something ridiculous. Insane. Not the first time Pickford has, just gotten the ball back and booted it. And they are, but do that more, it works.
Yeah.
It's stress less.
Caught him off guard right away, so.
I think that's it, Chad. I think we kind of nailed it with everything that happened. You know, it was 2 weeks, a lot happening. We got a little break now. We will see Liverpool and Everton before we get started again.
Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, 12th, and then everything comes back the 14th, 15th.
Okay, so we got a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game will be interesting. I think that'll kind of set the tone again for at least Arsenal on what they need to do to keep catching up. But you're right on our tail. We've been here before. We've been as a Liverpool fan. We've been in this situation, and so one game at a time.
Yeah, that's even just as you know, a fan of the sport. That's all I think anyone can ask is just like someone keep pressure on the team in first, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just a full walk away and take the league. As stress-free as that would be for you, it's not as exciting for everyone.
Look,
else.
Man, I want to get to the games when Arnie Slot starts doing the blinding style of play. That's what I'm hoping for this season, that we can get to that point. Where we're just going to try some ridiculous things. I don't think we're going to see it until we lock in our title and it's official. I'm waiting for it though. I'm hoping it happens.
I hope so.
It's got to happen at some point.
You just got to whip it out once at least. Who knows?
Maybe Champions League final.
Ooh, yeah.
Still hoping to try to be there. So, if that's the first time it happens, well done. Well done. All right, Chad, I think we nailed it. We'll be back with that hooligans pitch. We're out.
Peace.